folks here in the room. What's next?
We're going to talk about the vehicle registration fee outreach effort and various options. I'm going to invite Dan Johnson, Gary Schmidt, and Mike Besner up to the table here.
We got a minute?
Okay.
Well, it looks like we're got to stop the tape.
So I just turn the tape on.
Yeah, we turn the tape on.
Yeah.
So I'd like to come back and talk a little bit more about the schedule and get some idea whether it's how we can address the LUBA
aspects,
and that could be simple. And then talk about where we can move things around. The short stay rental is really important too.
I think what you're saying is probably really important for all of us to hear.
Yeah.
So what I would add to that
what
is
you're
I think it was last week. I had a good half an hour, if not an hour, chat with Jennifer on this very topic. So as Dan said, it's still in the plan, but I would agree, Jim, that if we're really going to be really, truly proactive, which is what this our community has really, you know, been asked to do, that taking, re-examining that or reevaluating that move and maybe moving this up would be truly proactive.
Yeah, certainly we want to worry about addressing the legal issue first so that we don't end up in LUBA and, let's say we appeal and we lose because we haven't addressed what they already told us is a problem.
So I have to talk with Jennifer just briefly to see what that total scope of work is to simply deal with the LUBA issues at this point in time, if we're going to separate those two topics and see what delay that would cause the short stay rental bus discussion. And is that a dialogue we can come back with you and have a quick discussion of issues, or do you want a policy session on it? Oh, now you're interested.
I think you need a policy session.
I think we need a policy session. First part of the year.
Okay. It's that close. Okay. We'll get it queued up. If there's time available, we'll get it up as soon as we can.
Okay. But, you know, keep it an hour or something. We can talk about that and see if we can just, you know, get some direction from the rest of the commission in a shorter time frame.
In an hour?
Well, first off,
we will bring something back to you.
Yeah.
We got it covered.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I mean, philosophically, you want to separate the topics. Separate the topics into two separate entities and talk about what it would take to move maybe one portion of it forward versus moving all of it forward at one point in time. And then talk about the other elements as well.
Right. Because our comp plan is old, countywide,
yeah.
Right? And what could we do to reduce some of that potential
There's more risk right now with the comp plan, with the zone.
Yeah,
changes.
Reduce some of that risk and then get into the comp plan part a little bit more.
Okay.
Well, the interesting thing, I'll just say this, just to close to cap this off, is that the Park Avenue work is also a zone change. So I think that they actually balance one another out, perhaps. And so, you know, to use that LUBA thing and the zone change issue as an issue and to allow the other to happen and not having that balancing act, because that's where there's like a somewhat of a medium of agreement. If you want that to go forward and, you know, and both go forward as we the neighborhood conceived, that's where the middle ground I think really is. So I'll stop there.
Okay.
We're gonna need an hour.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here to talk we're here to talk about VRF. And we have an hour. So we hope we'll get you out of here a little bit sooner than an hour, but a couple things, just so you have an idea about the flow of this presentation. We're here to talk to you again about transportation funding. We've identified to you and had a discussion with you that even though we've had the additional funds from HB 2017, we fail to have a local source of funding. And we can't provide those services that our community would like to see. We've updated you on discussions with cities, updated you on discussions with C4, updated you on discussions with our business groups as well. And from that last but not least, gave you kind of a framework under how this vehicle registration fee and local funding source might be utilized. You send us away. You said, hey, go engage in some public outreach, get some meetings scheduled with the community leaders. So there's a couple things we're here to do today, one of which is kind of share with you the presentation we gave to those groups. We're going to breeze through it a little quicker than we gave those folks. Generally, they ran about an hour and a half. We're not taking that long on this presentation to you. I'm going to have Gary share some information regarding some great outreach we had and partnerships with some of our committee members and citizen members, which really facilitated that and some of the assistance they gave us. And then look for your direction on what you'd like to do next. Okay. I want to point out a couple things before I get into the presentation. There are five attachments to this particular policy session. You have the presentation, which is attachment A. You have our outreach schedule, which is attachment B. You have the summary of input received from the citizens as attachment C. You have a discussion around priority projects from our TSP, which is attachment D. And then last but not least, you have a summary of kind of the revenue streams we're looking at with a VRF, which is attachment E. One of the things that I wanted to make sure we clearly called that out because one of the commitments we made to the citizens we engaged with was to ensure them that a summary of their comments would be provided to the board so that they would be heard. I want to make sure we called those out in the record. So here we go. Let's dive into the presentation. I've engaged a number of entities, which Gary will talk about for some time, and shared the following information with them. Essentially, in short, we thought it was important, one, to identify kind of the scope and scale of our road system. I mean, folks don't understand when you talk about one of the single biggest public assets the community owns or the public owns would be our road system. Our road system, by the numbers, you've seen these numbers before, we have 1,400 road miles. That includes 40 miles within cities. I didn't call out all these numbers, but some that are interesting to me. We have 111,000 linear feet of guardrail. We have 180 bridges, and we have a ferry. All those combine to develop the road system that we have that we maintain. We talk to folks. I think it's important when you're engaged in the community, you have to talk to folks about what transportation funding is. There's two pools of that funding, one of which is the maintenance and one of which is the capital construction. Briefly, we've shared with them the fact that we do get state highway funds. We call it our road fund. We talk about some history around the federal timber receipts in the secure rural schools. For those of you who haven't been around as long as other folks, essentially, historically, we were seeing about $4.5 to $5 million of revenue from our secure rural schools, from our timber receipt money and secure rural school funding. That number has dwindled down to $200,000 to $300,000 this year. So essentially, this was money to backfill some of the revenue we were getting from the timber receipts. And then we are open and honest and transparent about the fact that we did get new State House Bill 2017 money. And we'll share with you as we share with them how we're using those funds. On the capital side, this kind of provides a summary of how we are looking to pay for those projects within our transportation system plan that are what we call Tier 1. Remember, those are Tier 1 projects, meaning the fact that we believe we can get funding for those projects. It's important to look up there because it talks about federal, state, and other. That's almost 50%, so that means we're using grant money for those. Urban renewal was a big one, but there's limits to that. You can only use urban renewal in certain areas, and it has to be in the plan. SDCs have limitations as well. They can only pay for capital they can only pay for capacity improvements to the system. And last but not least, we have used a little bit of road fund. But it's important to understand that not one of those funding sources up there, every funding source up there has strings attached to it and has limits to how you use it. HB 2017, as you all know, we've talked about this before, increases currently 2018. We're looking at $3 million in additional funding. That is going to increase to about $13 million by 2027 and then remain stagnant at $13 million from that point forward. There's no inflationary component to that as well. It's important to understand. There will be more revenue that may come in due to more registrations and distribution of those registrations, but those monies will not be significantly increasing. We share with folks where we're spending our HB 2017 money. So our HB 2017 money, we are remaining consistent with the discussion that we had and have had and continue to have with the community on the fact that we are focusing the majority of those funds towards maintenance. We have been talking to folks about gas tax, about other local funding sources. That's why, I'm not sure if you saw the very first slide, but it said, it talked about the road ahead 2018 continuing the discussion. This road ahead discussion has been going on for many years. We wanted to remain committed to that. So majority of our money, about 8.5, we're looking to increase our paving package on arterials and collectors when we are fully funded at $13 million, increase it to about $8.5 million. Safety, increase it by $1.5 million. ADA by about $520,000. And then bike ped, we have by state statute a requirement to set aside 1% for bike ped, which basically means we have an additional $100,000 going to bike ped improvements. The majority of those dollars are going towards maintenance. Oops, hello. What happened? But we do share with them the fact that that doesn't deal with all the needs and issues that are facing Clackamas County residents, and we share this list with them. You can see it, capital projects, congestion relief. We do not have a local road maintenance program. There's obviously, we have our safety action plan, which is one of the only ones in the, we'll say nation.
No? Well, it was when we did it the first time, when the board first adopted it. We think it was the first one in the nation.
ADA curb ramps, you've heard that dialogue and that discussion about the need to deal with those issues. And then obviously multi-use paths and the need to relocate our transportation maintenance facility. Those are real life challenges that we're facing. We're missing that local funding source piece. And urban renewal is going away. We only have one urban renewal district that's currently collecting a levy, which is our North Clackamas Revitalization Area. Beyond that, the only other local tool we have is our SDCs. Keep in mind, SDCs, transportation SDCs, we take projects from our transportation system plan and apply through a methodology and adopt some of those projects into our SDC methodology. And with that, it's important to understand that SDCs only pay for a small percentage of those roadways. You can't fully fund a project, or can you rarely fully fund a project with SDCs. So you have to find a match for those dollars, which is important. Next thing you want to look at that list. Metro grants, state grants, feds grants.
All iffy.
Well, and who defines the value structure around those grants?
Yep.
So this is the talk with folks about, you ask us why are you doing that project over there versus doing that project over there? It's because somebody else prioritized that project versus
gave
that,
us money to do
and
it.
Gave us money to do it. Yep, exactly. So let's talk about, you've seen this slide before, I'm going to show it to you again, we share it with everybody else. Speaks for itself. Washington County is getting an annual local revenue source of almost $50 million. Multnomah County, near $18 million in Clackamas County, doesn't have any of those tools available to it, to us. We talk about our engagement with the businesses. We talk about, and you've seen these before, we've expressed support for congestion relief, local road program, and safety projects. Strategic Investment Fund we've talked about previously, and they like the idea about a VRF. We share with them that we talked to C4, and we asked them four questions, and these are the answers to the four questions we got back, which were, yes, $30 for a VRF for a rate. Do they like the Strategic Investment Fund? And they said yes. If how much? 10% of the county's revenue directed towards that fund. We talked to city staff. What are they going to use the money for? Keep in mind, it's a 60-40 split by statute, so 60% goes to the county, 40% goes to the cities. What are the cities going to use the dollars for? Those are the three things: capital projects, pavement and general maintenance, sidewalks, and ADA ramps. We talked to the community leadership, and actually, I might turn it over here for 1 second, if you're okay with that. Transition to Gary to express the good work we did with the Committee for Community Involvement and the assistance they gave us.
Yes, the Committee for Community Involvement is the county-sponsored advisory board. They advise the commissioners and staff on good public involvement strategies. They helped us coordinate 7 community meetings through both unincorporated and incorporated Clackamas County, and we met with a total of about 200 people. That includes the business outreach we did as well. And overall, I will say there was no blatant opposition to a VRF, nor is there total support for a VRF, but a lot of really good questions about what's the need, how will the money be spent, and what it means in particular for the homeowner or the resident. What will this mean to my pocketbook? And almost everyone said, once they had finished the community meeting, thank you for sharing this. Now that I understand it, I would be open for the county to do this. Almost universally, that's the feedback we received.
When you explain it, it usually goes reasonably well.
Exactly.
When you talk about the discussion around what they're... look at every area up there. Every area had a desire for a project. And we were able to look them in the eyes and say, it is difficult, if not impossible, for us to find funding for the project that you've identified. We don't have a local tool that doesn't have a string attached that we can't use to put forward the values that we have in Clackamas County. And so there was a nexus there between that discussion. I'll share with you Estacada. Estacada was one of the most interesting public engagement experience ever. You went in there, there were some folks that were concerned, they had issues, they had this, they had that. We spent an hour and a half with them, and it was a great dialogue. And at the end, there was a mutual respect for the topic. There was you still had folks that were, you had some folks that were, discussions around California, and it got kind of crazy and off script. But it was a good discussion, and they had a specific project, and we were able to tell them, we cannot do anything with that project, nor can we have the development community build the exact project that you want. This could do something like that.
I'm sorry, yes. So Appendix C in your study session packet does have a detailed list of all the feedback received at both the community meetings and the business outreach meetings. I won't read them all, but you can see a lot of them are just really good technical questions. What does this mean for me? How much are my trucks? Are they eligible? And so forth. So just a lot of really good questions about what it means.
And I want to personally thank the CCI group. I mean, they had a member at every single meeting.
At least one member.
At least one member that was there with us. I want to thank PGA that supported DTD in regards to, they brought snacks and coffee, and it was great, and people enjoyed it. I mean, we were asking for evening meetings and day meetings, and it was excellent.
And the local community planning organization, if there was one in that community, they also co-sponsored the event and
correct.
Was there too.
Correct. We go through a discussion then around, these are the needs. What would be supported with what? Because we are very frank in the fact that if we establish VRF money, that money needs to be programmed different. It's not going to be programmed into our normal revenue stream where it gets lost in the numbers. So at any given point in time, if you have a local revenue source, we have got to be able to show you point blank where those dollars went to and what they were spent on. So we share with them through this summary, hey, here are the things that we're going to fund with what, if it's HB 2017 money or if it's VRF. We do talk about the fact that we're not funding transportation maintenance facility with the VRF. We're not having a discussion around that whatsoever. Those dollars would be directed towards local roads, capital construction and congestion relief, and safety. There was some interaction and dialogue with some citizen members around, some concern around why did you go to the business community first, not the citizens. But I want to make sure we understand the fact that we never heard any citizens say, no, I don't prioritize those things. You never heard them, well, I wouldn't have done local road maintenance, I would have done curbs or something like that, or more ADA or more other facilities. It's outreach. You can always do enough outreach. But again, this is a discussion that's been going on for years, if not a decade, here in Clackamas County. We did have some great dialogue around a gas tax. People were all supportive of gas tax. We share with them. We tried the gas tax. And it's important to share with folks kind of the history of the discussion as well, which was a good thing. Is that a stretch or a handout?
No, a stretch.
Okay. We share with all of our city representatives and the community about what the distribution would be. This assumes a 60-40 split with the 10% of the county's set-aside money going to the Strategic Investment Fund. It's an interesting dialogue because you talk about, I'll use Estacada as a great example again. They see the number, and they see the number compared to other entities like Oregon City or Westland or like Oswego, because it's the concern around the population distribution. But when the dialogue comes down to it's revenue you don't have, it's match money you can use, you can direct it towards any road-related project that you may have or leverage it against any source you can find, and then you take that and you talk about the dialogue around the county's money as well, because a lot of the discussion has been on the rural side as well as the urban side. It's difficult to find rural money for rural road projects. These are not projects, and we're very frank and direct with them. We're not talking about building a bunch of new roads. But when we say congestion relief, we're talking about
It's generally turn lanes and intersections. That's the most common congestion. And these are right out of our transportation system plan. We're not making these projects up. They're tier one projects in a document the board in a previous few years ago already adopted. And so, yeah, it's mostly adding lanes. There's a few adding paved shoulders. Not adding lanes, sorry, adding turn lanes. We're not building any new roads with this money because our transportation system plan doesn't call for that. No new county roads. Nor do we have very many where we're adding a full lane over a big distance. We just don't have any.
We talk about the Strategic Investment Fund, or SIF. We talk about the fact there's two areas we're looking to do it. You've seen all this before. Congestion relief, some sort of joint project that has multiple jurisdictional benefit would be authorized through C4. Then we talk about the maintenance and road transfer projects and program that we've talked about previously. Making sure we're hearing comments, we're hearing from the community. You had some comments from some of our unincorporated citizens that had concern about some of the ability to balance their needs in the C4 environment. I mean, you heard that, with the cities may dominate that environment. And that's a discussion that we have to have. There was also the dialogue around the fact that that doesn't limit Clackamas County from putting forward a request for those monies as well. We may want to match that money with our money for a project that benefits urban and rural. There's a lot of flexibility to that. But I wanted to make sure we shared that, because that was a comment we heard from some of the citizens. We talked about the impact on motorists. We shared all of this regarding what the rate would be, that it's actually $60 paid every 2 years. There was a lot of questions about what it applied to. We run through a list from the state statute that identifies what it applies to and what it doesn't apply to, and what is excluded. We shared with them all of the next steps, the business community outreach, C4, and obviously the fact that we're going to come back to the Board of County Commissioners. So that's the PowerPoint presentation. That 20 minutes ran about an hour and a half, with good dialogue when we gave the presentation. We even had one presentation where, like, one person showed up, and we still spent an hour and a half with them talking to them, which was great. But again, there's some clarity here. We've got some options that we've outlined for you. And there's kind of three options that we see, and the board may have more they'd like us to advance or different ones they'd like us to advance, but there's three that are kind of clear, one of which is direct staff to advance implementation of a local road vehicle registration fee subject to a process. Is it ordinance or is it public vote? As determined by the Board of County Commissioners. You can direct us to conduct further outreach, analysis, and or other steps related to a possible future countywide VRF. Or you can direct us to stand down. And so,
stand. I'd like to see us direct you to initiate two public hearings in January to hear from the community.
So I love the all the outreach and the summary of all the questions. And I'm just wondering if, in preparation for that, if somebody or Chair Bernard could write something that we could distribute to the newspapers to say, look, we're engaged in this process. We're hearing from the community that this is what they want. This is our reasoning. Just put it out there, the condensed version of the public comment, and ask for further input. Because I would feel much more comfortable supporting this if I heard not just from the cities, I support county commission you doing this. I want people to actually ask us, affirmatively ask us. I would have preferred that our city councils and mayors had said, hey, county commission, you do this, please. We need this revenue. We need this support. They're not saying that. They're saying, yeah, we support it.
So this has been going on 15, 20 years. Most of the mayors would say to you, yes, do it.
Not yes, do it. I want them to tell us to do it. I want them to affirmatively advocate that we do.
Well, remember, the city councils are made up of more than one person, and most mayors would probably tell you to do it. But when they come to the commission, it varies. You know, do it or put it out for a vote. But we have lost on everything we put out to a vote on transportation since beginning of time. So, anyway, yes, Paul.
Well, I'm coming from a little bit different place. I think the cities would, if they want to change a word to make it an ask, that they would do that. But I think what's more important to me is those who actually have skin in the game. The cities are going to be the recipient of money. I mean, it's hard for me to fathom that any city would say, no, don't do it. They're going to be the recipient. They're not really going to be, it's not really coming out of their pockets per se, other than individually they own the cars and get that. And I'm sure government agencies are exempt from a vehicle registration fee, right?
I believe that's the case.
So they really have no skin in the game other than as individuals. So the problem I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. You've heard this before, but, you know, we're having a session, and if we have a hearing, we'll have a hearing, and I'll say it again. But I think whatever we do has got to be compelling enough that it can withstand a challenge.
I agree.
From the citizens. And I don't see anything in here that is compelling as of yet. I'm not saying we can't get there. And I think you've identified some projects. But the other part of this equation is that state law says it's a 60-40 split, and what we do with our 60% is totally up to us. There's no change required to actually go forward with the direction in which it's the trajectory we have to currently in place today. So with that said, I think that some of the cities have local funding, okay? We are putting this measure on the, whether we put it on the ballot or whether we take an action by ordinance and we do it, we are impacting the residents in those cities regardless. So they have as much say as people in the unincorporated areas. And we know what the population split is approximately. But my largest concern is that when I read the letters from the cities and what they say and what they presume in there, it's not really clear to me what they're really gonna do with the money. And not that different than when we put it on the ballot the last time. We put it on the ballot the last time. We asked the cities, give us a project list, because I think that's part of the answer of what is compelling. And if we can't answer to the question whether you live in a city or where you live in the unincorporated, what are you going to get for these dollars? And that, I think, has to be compelling enough that it can withstand the challenge, and because I think a challenge will probably come, however we do it, whether we put it on the ballot or not, a challenge will be there. And I think we got to make that argument. I think that people, in the end of the day, I'm optimistic. I think what we messed up last time is the cities did not come forward with their list of projects. And you had a substantial amount of population that you couldn't answer that question. What do we get for it, for the gas tax? Back then we put it on there. And we were left holding the bag because I don't know, did the cities feel at that point in time that putting together a list and putting on the ballot would be a political risk? Because they have very little political risk with us doing this if we don't put it on the ballot. So I'll just summarize. I mean, I'm going to stop there. There's a lot I could add to this, but I just think we got to be able to answer the question. It's just too unclear. You know, for example, a timetable. If there's a intersection change, we had a turn lane or something like that, when would I see that? But to load this with the suggestion that a majority of our money, the unincorporated piece, right, the 60%, would go towards the cities who already have funding at the detriment of the unincorporated areas, whether it's the 10%, because we're putting 10% in of our 60, the cities are not putting anything in of their 40 or their cut. And there's an inequity there. And then have some of the cities suggest or be told, and they have been told, that a lot of the money will go into fixing the roads in the cities first. Well, that's at the detriment of the unincorporated areas. And that's the part, I think, that whether that's something that was said or verbalized or it's an understanding or a misunderstanding, whatever it may be, but it all goes to lack is there an actual plan in which these monies will produce certain results? And this is what you're going to get for your dollars with a reasonable timetable, and that's what's not really clear. I saw the list, and there's a list of our projects, but that's not a list of the projects that would be in the cities, for example, or a timetable of when those might actually be realized.
So a couple things.
Wait, Mike. Wait. Yeah. We could talk this whole thing around and make this as complicated as possible, which I think is what's happening. We have a list. We've reached out to the cities, asked them, to send us a letter asking us to either make it happen or put it on the ballot. This has been going on for 10 years or 15, 20 years. The gas tax people, generally, cities have gas tax. Some do, some don't. So the argument that you know they have some funding, I don't think that this thing says at all that most of the money is going to be spent in cities to get rid of roads. It doesn't say that at all. It says 10% of the money would be directed towards working on roads within the cities so that we can turn them over to the cities, which in the long run is a benefit to the residents of the county, unincorporated Clackamas County. At some point, that 10% ain't going to be, well, actually, over time, different annexations would absorb those roads. Anyway, so they're putting all their money in the cities. But to
Commissioner's point, we could follow up with the cities for those cities that talked about capital.
We could probably provide
you some information on that.
I think that's a really good point. I don't think that's too much of an ask because they're thinking about it. They're doing it. But I really would like some advance. Chair Bernard, you going out there with in my opinion piece, get some social media with requests, get some more activity, get people here. I would like it to be well known that we're doing this. I want to hear all the naysayers at our public hearing. I want Les Poole to be in support of this.
He will never be in support of it. I am going to meet with him. He will never be in support of this. There will be some people who will say it's got to be on the ballot, no matter what. We could be dying of starvation. We'll put it on the ballot.
Well, then maybe if I don't know, people need to be supporting it. Then if it's going to be on the ballot, campaigning for it.
Sometimes you have to stick your neck up.
So the board packet, Jim, on that note about, I don't think I was speaking to whether or not you put it on the ballot or not, because the board packet says either or, right?
Yeah, you would.
So that's almost a non-issue to what's in the packet right now.
Whether we do it or not, it'll get, you know, I mean.
Is it going to get referred?
We either put it on the ballot or
we
convince people ahead of time that not to refer it. That's what I think we're trying to get at. Yeah. I remember, like I said, I mean, this has been going on for years, and yet the same people that say no are the same people that come to us and complain about the roads most of the time.
Exactly.
And that's kind of where
compelling,
yeah,
so that we stand a chance.
I mean, I can't tell you how I have a friend that all he talks about is potholes, and there's nothing I can do to convince him that we don't have enough to do every pothole that he would like us to do.
Yes,
just a couple things to help the discussion a little. I think it would be a challenge to get every city to give us a project list. I don't think we'll ever get there. I think some of the smaller ones will struggle with that. So just, you know, the bigger ones, yeah, I'm sure it's not as hard. But some of them, when they're not even getting all that much money, you know, and if they do use it for future grant applications, I think it'll be challenging for them to give us a lot of specifics. As far as our project list, and the reason it looks the way it does, where there's more than we could do with this, and the way we broke it up is spread out in different geographical regions, and we put the region and we put where CPOs are, and these all came right from our TSP. We didn't make any of these up. Of tier one projects, which are the high priority projects, there's a couple reasons why we didn't narrow it down more. One is they all have to be pretty well scoped and cost estimated, and they're all still planning level because of the transportation system plan. We don't go into a heck of a lot of detail. So it's a lot of work to do that. But the other one is, rather than dictate to all these folks, because one thing we heard when we went out is people want to say out in the rural area, well, now we have several projects that look pretty good in an area. We can go out to those areas and say, hey, which one of these looks good? Which one which one is most important? And the only way to do that is to not put forward a very specific list ahead of time. So it's a balancing act. I just want to throw that out there. That was the thinking of why we left it the way we did for right now.
Very broad.
It is.
It's all possible high priorities.
Yeah, and when we went out and met with folks like in Estacada, Dan mentioned, we were able to say, well, you know, we looked at the projects in our Tier 1 and Eagle Creek Road Deuce intersection. We could add a turn lane. I don't remember exactly what it says. And every single time we did that, people are like, oh. Yeah, nobody said, no, we don't need that project. You know, it was, they were interested in it. And but that's why we left it a little broad for right now.
And you go back to the discussion we were having around, we were clear with people. We were clear with people about one thing. We are not going to cut service if it doesn't get done. Doesn't mean the service gets any less. Doesn't mean we don't try to create the safest environment we can for you to travel through the roads of Northeast County. Yeah. But we did have the talk around, you are seeing things in other areas because they're paying themselves first. They're paying themselves through the local collection of dollars to pay for projects that they value. Not a regional discussion, it's not a state discussion, it's not a federal discussion. It's local money being collected at the local level that can establish local values. Now, equally important, you have people out there who are like, they're upset that it's $30. And they are. I mean, that's not cool. I can appreciate that. And the impact it has on them. And there's a tug and pull in that discussion, which you're obviously going to hear repeatedly during the hearings and the testimony. So.
Yeah, I have six cars. No, I don't.
But I don't want to pay.
We had seven.
Actually said they had seven.
They
cars.
Did say yeah. They have seven.
Sure. Yeah. If you have anyway, seven. So I think there's a lot of compelling information, and those hearings will start with a presentation, a detailed presentation. And Ken's been trying to wave me down for a while. Ken.
Well, I agree with you. We ought to have a couple of public presentations right here. I would suggest one in the daytime, one at night, this particular circumstance. Yep. And the other thing is that we don't just get elected to pass things on to the general public and let them decide. We actually get elected to make some decisions that sometimes are difficult to make. We have 1,400 miles of roads that we have a responsibility to not only maintain at this time, but to pass on to the next generation in decent condition. And if we don't have a local source of funding to do this, we will not be able to do that, and that is prima facie, irresponsible. So when I have gone and talked to people at different CPO meetings, I've made that point. I was specifically asked, why not put it to the public? And I said the last time something for the roads was put to the public was the gasoline tax in 2016. It was given to 10 counties. 10 counties voted no. Said, so it is up to us to make that decision. And you as citizens have the right to say, you know what? We don't like the decision you made, and you're out. They have the right to make that decision, but we have a responsibility to the infrastructure of this county.
Or
unless we live up to that and make the decisions, we'll be passing on a mess to the next generation, and I'm not willing to do that. So we need to do this, and we need to own it, and we need to get out there and talk to everybody that we possibly can and not just make it the staff and continue the if you will, outreach. And make sure that more and more people actually understand what and why. So it's really that basic as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to say that, you know, our ultimate goal is to look at a transportation system plan countywide, you know, so that I think that would inform us a lot about what the community really wants. Martha?
So I'm seeing a few things in this visual I just want to comment on. You put Portland Metro Region. There's areas of our county, their heads explode. Okay, let's be honest. There's that. Do we have any comparables with any other counties that have maybe more of a rural-urban mix? And do they have any other? I'm just asking for information just to see. Because, yes, we're part of the Portland metro region, but we might be more comparable to, like, a Marion.
I don't think any of them have anything.
No, they don't. Well, see, that's what, so if they don't, let's just double check that, but that's what we're up against, really, is they don't, it's that mindset of, well, why can't you do it with what you already have? Because we say Portland Metro Region, but boy, our county's so different. And I'm not afraid to move ahead with this, don't get me wrong, I think we need to do something.
Don't you think Washington County is similar?
Well, no, they've got Nike, they've got Intel,
they've got a different...
Probably 50-50. Strike the three words, you know? Portland Metro Region.
Well, I would take it off, yeah.
Oh, no, it's like 80, It's more like 80-20.
80-20 city versus rural?
It's more like, it's 80-20 urban-rural. It's more like 70-30, I think, unincorporated versus, because Aloha is a big, Aloha is the big unincorporated area.
So Washington County is...
But they are largely incorporated.
Washington County has 1,300 miles of roads. We have 1,400 miles. They have $49 million worth of money to maintain their county
right.
roads.
Mm-hmm.
We got zipped.
So one thing that we did at...
But I'm talking about the comparables.
One thing we did at JPAC, we went on these trips, one to Seattle and Denver and Los Angeles and done this in other venues as well, and that is really what makes other regions successful, and I do a lot of business and have some friends in the Seattle area, and you know what the biggest resonating thing is? They can see the projects being built, and they have the confidence, and they vote in support, and they tax themselves.
The message really is that.
That's a difference between, and I know we have to maintain our roads, don't get me wrong, but the disagreement we had the last time amongst the board was when we put that gas tax on, it was all maintenance, and I think what's overwhelming, and we've seen some polling numbers, you know, Jim and I even recently, big issue on people's minds, congestion. It's a capital investment, and this county has been on the short end of the stick of regional dollars, and that plays in the memory banks of some people that are longtime residents here. So to Martha's point, well, I mean, you got to realize that. And to even to Sonia kind of mentioned that when she was calling on dialing for dollars for the housing bond, she heard the same thing.
Most of the congestion issues that I hear about are not on the county roads. Most of them are on state and federal roads.
Depends who you talk to.
I'm just saying what I've heard.
Yeah.
Okay. And we, you know, we don't have a financial impact on state and county, state and federal roads. We may have some political voice that has to be heard, et cetera, but this isn't about those roads, and that's obfuscating the issue. This is about the county roads and the county road maintenance. There may be some small amounts of congestion relief that we can do on county roads, but most of it is about the 1,400 miles of roads that we have that are going to fall apart if we don't take care of them.
So until
that's what the bulk of it's about.
Until about this morning, I thought you were right. And there was this little article, thing I'm going to put in the county's Clatco newspaper or something, that said congestion relief. And I thought, what would we do to resolve some congestion problems? And it really is what you just said a little while ago. Turn lanes, some different design to an intersection will have a huge impact. There is an impact. It's not I-205.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We shouldn't. But there are little things we can do, light timing, intelligent transportation systems, all those things can reduce congestion on our roads. And this morning I thought differently, and I started to change all the stuff in there, and then I realized, especially after you just added a couple of things, we can make a difference within our communities, reduce congestion.
That gets passed. We're looking at an annual capital programmatic budget of $3.5 to $4 million.
Yeah.
That it has no strings attached to it. That we can go out and we can do projects. All the projects, the projects that are on that list, and I agree, I wholeheartedly agree with you when you say you have got to get them done. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, that was a discussion we talked about with like HB 2017 money. It has got to be pavement on the roads. You've got to see it. Because if they
don't see it, then you, and the discussion, I'll go back to Estacada again. Point blank, it's like you don't trust us because you don't know us, and you don't. We met one time here. We had a great dialogue and discussion with them, but by the end, when you're educating and have an open dialogue and discussion, it was about that. Hey, It is our job to put a program together to make sure those projects get distributed around the various areas of Clackamas County and they get built. That is our job. If they don't get built, that is our job, and that's our responsibility. But right now, I can't even tell you when they're going to get built. I can't tell you how they're going to get built. I can't tell you if ever they get built. And that's just the, and it's just a dialogue and discussion that we have, which was great.
So, are we okay with having some hearings next month, one day, one night?
But I do think you need an, in my opinion,
piece. I will, and we're doing something in Clatco. Isn't that what that's called?
Clatco Quarterly is the new name of Citizen News.
Okay, Citizen News.
We should
News.
All promote that on our own social media pages, what Jim does, whatever link that is. We should just be concerted
well,
in raising public awareness
if,
and try to get people.
If you put something out, I always share.
I wanted to add one thing.
I don't
you know,
necessarily.
The Selwood Bridge, what we heard, if you had spent the money in Clackamas County, we would have supported it. I'd like to say Les said that, but I can't positively say that. Somebody did. But this is money will be spent in Clackamas County and won't contribute to something in another county. So, go ahead.
I just want to just say some roads, Ken, that I hear often about that are our roads, and they're not county, or I mean, they're not state or federal, and that is I hear about Sunnyside Road. I hear about River Road. I hear about Oatfield Road. I hear about Fisher's Mill, Redland Road, Beaver Creek Road. We're in the rural parts, okay? There's another road, Harmony Road. Big problems on Harmony Road.
Yeah.
There's congestion all over, and a lot of these are our roads, and certainly, you know, 213 out to Malala. That's a state highway. A lot of traffic there, but there's a lot of roads there that are congested that to a point to where we never even imagined.
I didn't say there were none. I'm just saying I don't want it to get obfuscated or confused in the public's mind with the state and federal projects, and that can happen unless we're really, really clear about this. And again, most of those are in the urbanized, unincorporated area. They're not in the, what I would call truly the rural areas.
So when what we do is we have a letter that says that reduced congestion on county roads. Be more specific. Yeah. People aren't going to want to throw money at 205 or
I left off Stafford. Forget about Stafford. I left off Stafford.
Yeah,
Stafford's a big one.
You did a nice job of listing most of our projects on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
So, all right, last question, please.
Are we okay? And we're
1:30? 1 o'clock. Coming back at 1 o'clock.
I'm sorry, just to clarify, so are these public hearings to enact a VRF by ordinance or just public hearings to hear what the public thinks about a VRF?
Well, I'd like them to be public hearings to enact a vehicle registration fee by ordinance. Now, they could always change our mind.
Just need to know how to promote these meetings. Are they just general, let us know what you think, or is it by ordinance, knowing that you don't have to approve it? You, after the public hearings, you could decide not to go that route.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Can you phrase it? Can you phrase it? At this point in time, the county commission is leaning towards a VRF by ordinance, but we need to hear from you. What do you think about this?
Yes.
And do you have questions about this that we can answer for you? I mean, that's open and about as open and transparent as you can be.
And if the public overwhelmingly tells you don't do it by ordinance, are you prepared to accept that? Because if that's not on the table, then it's disingenuous. Respectfully, it's disingenuous to ask the public if you feel you're not going to do it that way.
Well, law says you have to have a public hearing.
Absolutely, for the ordinance, yes.
Yes.
Well, even to put it on the ballot, you have to have a hearing,
yes.
Right?
Yes, you're right.
Either way, you have to have a hearing.
Correct.
Yes. Either way, you have to have a hearing.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, but Gary said we need to define what our public hearing is. Is it to do ordinance or is it to promote?
Well,
or just to ask
really great attendance if we do an ordinance, so I'm all for that.
Okay. Is everybody in consensus?
We will have great attendance.
Are we all good?
Yep.
Well, I don't think we have, you know where I'm at.
Where are you at, Paul?
It needs to be more compelling.
Well, that we'll work on before we have the public hearings.
But I'm all for having the public discussion, so I'll just put that on record.
Yeah. So we are back at 1 o'clock to finish the list of issues
no.
At that time.
So I, I'm going to ask that question one more time.
Okay.
So right now, because it's more than just getting the notice out, because we've got to send notification to ODOT on code language and all that, okay. Which is our county council. They're queued up and they can do that. Okay. But if we are looking to have a public hearing, two public hearings established in January, where we hear from it, and we will advertise it, get notice out there, I just need to make sure we're clear on that. What I'm hearing from you is you want to have two public hearings, a first and a second reading, for implementing a VRF by ordinance. And we're going to advertise it that way with the ability to provide public testimony. Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know that we have consensus on that, because that is important.
Yeah.
Well, there's three over here that say yes.
I'm saying yes is because we have tried this again and again, and I think even I'm at the point, because I'm fine putting things out to a vote, but I'm at the point after doing this for so many years where we got to do something. I mean, I can't even tell you the iteration this is of how many times we have talked about this. So even with institutional historic knowledge, I'm kind of at the point where I will do the best I can to justify this to the public and just say, we've been doing this, guys, we got to bite the bullet here. And we're functional government, for God's sakes. I mean, we don't close down. We don't do all the other nonsense. I'm more than willing to just kind of, you know, frame it and say, it's time. It's the time to act is now. And I don't know what else to say. So I know this is a tough. I know that we'll get, you know, you'll get a lot of upset people. But I'm at the point in my career, or if you want to even call it that, as a commissioner that. You know, I've been through it too many times, and I think finally it's going to have to be our decision. And if we have to take it on the chin, we got to take it on the chin.
I know you all want consensus, and I can get there if the conversations as kind of presented in the packet, and that's one, you know, we're looking at both, putting it on the ballot or by ordinance. But if you want to go to ordinance, I can't join you on a consensus on that without that compelling piece. That compelling element, because I haven't seen that, and that includes the cities in that. It's not on our staff. Staff's done. You guys done a good job of getting together the projects, so it's not. I want to make sure that burden is not a criticism, or my comments are not a criticism towards our staff. It's just a very difficult situation. Our other partners have to pony up.
Yeah.
I wish it was an easy decision, because it's not. Whenever you're talking about raising taxes or fees on people, none of us like it. But I'll tell you, this is not the first time I've been stuck in that position, because somebody before me, for whatever the reasons were, didn't step up and do what they should have done years before.
So for you,
at some point, you've got to clean up the mess.
So the plan is to put this ordinance on here for two hearings, first reading, second reading. And we probably don't have consensus, but the goal is to convince this guy over here that we have a compelling reason to do this. And obviously the goal is to convince the citizens who have testified that we have a compelling reason. That's really what Paul wants to see. I think we have a compelling reason.
Yeah, and I don't want to be out of the cold water, and you guys have to just jump through hoops.
I know.
Because really, to me, it's the cities need to step up.
Well, they did send a lot of letters.
We can ask them, by the way, for those who are willing to do so, to give us a list of some projects that they would be doing with their funds. I'm sure some will come up with
them. C4 Cup, everyone raised their hand. Everyone raised their hand. Our argument was over $30 or $20 or.
Well, and I wanted to see this progressive.
Okay, so you got your direction. All right, we are adjourned until 1 o'clock in the same room.
What?
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 in the same room, in the same room.